which are like forms from the people and has all the halakhas of the people, even though it's an entity, but it has, since it was formed by the people gathering together and coming together, therefore it has all the halakhas of its other ve'ima, called the people. That's like Ramosha.
What is that? Ibn Shlichus?
That's the thing, is that the people created something, and therefore whatever's created has its connection to the creator. Yeah. Or is it an entity by itself, which we rejected as being a concept? So in the end of the day, we always, everyone contains and holds that it was an extension of the people. Every shita holds that it's an entity, not human, but it's an extension of the halakhas of the people. But the shaila was, does the entity now have its own ownership over these items, or it's just a gabai? It's just a representative. The people over there are just representing them, representing the people. So it has its own ownership, or it's representing a gabai. Okay, that's what we discussed last week. You'll see later on it has a bit of relevance. You can hear the tape last week for more clarity. Now, let's ask our shaila. You may remember the shaila, which we totally forgot about. Now we're coming back. 30 years ago, a woman, Leah, walks into an electrical shop and says, "Hey, I want to buy 3 washing machines, 3 dryers, 3 freezers, 3 fridges. Money up front." So she puts down money up front, she enters into this electrical shop, she puts money up front for all these electrical appliance machines. What's the deal? Deal is, I don't want them now. I'm paying for them now, 3 of each. But I don't want them now. When do I want them? I'm buying them for when my sons get married. And when they get married, then I want them. So she pays up front for these 12 machines. Yeah? So 5 years later, she walks in, says, "My son got married. Can you please deliver the first 3 items?"
She paid.
She really paid. 30 years ago she paid. 5 years after that payment, "It's now time for delivery of my first son." Another 3 years pass, second son gets married, same story. Last son gets married. This is already after she paid 10 years previously. She walks in, same shop, same people, recognizes the guys, a bit greyer, obviously. She said, "Look, my third son's got married, I need to deliver the last appliances." So she said, "Well, there's been a problem." "What's the problem?" "Well, that shop you made the deal with..."
"Same one, the same people."
"Same people, same people, same shop, same, looks like the same appliances." "Different chevra, we're a different company. Your business is with the old company, not with us. I dealt with you, yeah. I'm working now for the new company, working with the new company, not us. Sorry, you can't these items." So now, so we have to understand, is there such a thing as the secular law recognizes that a company is a separate entity by itself, and therefore maybe the taina of the mocher is correct? You did business with one company, we're a different company, we haven't got those obligations. Unless you have an expert lawyer that will sell to companies together, corporate. What difference?
One of the major questions is whether they sold the assets or whether they sold the corporation, the shares to the corporation.
So they didn't. They didn't sell the corporation.
They got the money also, right?
No, that company closed.
Or didn't give them the money?
No, that company closed. Uh-huh. And they just opened a new one.
Same owners?
Same people, same owners. So does halacha recognize as a company being an entity in itself and it's nothing to do with the human beings behind it? So we already said...
Because the din halacha din or just...
No, nothing. Before the din halacha. So we already said halacha does recognize there's such a thing as an entity which is disconnected to the people behind that entity, and that's called... government. That we've already concluded. The government body is an entity which is disconnected from the people who are behind the formation of that government, and therefore there is in halacha a concept of an entity that has nothing to do with its founders.
You see that with every memshalat change, some rules change, other things, but the laws remain.
Okay. That means that. That's a sign that they're not owners, they're just working for whoever this thing is. This thing is not the people, this thing is an entity. That we already concluded. So you want to know, can you extend that concept in halacha to just a company in itself?
As long as it doesn't mean just unfairness.
We don't discuss unfairness in our classes, in our shirim. Because we discuss pure halacha, not whether it's fair or not.
This concept.
Halacha is not kosher mishpat halacha. That's a different thing.
The concept of the government being a separate entity that only arises when the government is not a monarchy.
Monarchy will describe when we get to din halacha what exactly a monarchy is.
Okay. Like, did the concept ever arise before we had democratic governments? Was the Shaila ever discussed?
Yes, that's what we saw for the Mishnahs, the Torah. Yeah.
For government or for rabbin?
For rabbin, yeah.
For rabbin, not
okay.
For government.
Okay.
What? There were city governments.
Now, so we're discussing now, can we extend the concept of entity, which is recognized in the halacha in a form called governmental? Can we extend it to private companies? So let's take the classic company called a bank. A bank. This bank wants to lend ribbis. And its major shareholders are Jewish. Can that bank lend ribbis with a claim it's not Jewish, it's an entity in itself, or is it bound to say that what are you talking about? You're not an entity. Entity can only be a governmental body in halacha. You are who your shareholders are, which are Jewish, because they're partners, and therefore it's Jews who are said lending ribbis, and they can't lend ribbis. So let us see what the Gedolei Poskim, how they describe this concept. Number two. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his famous Sefer Mincha Shlomo says the following. Ein nidzen zeh shlayach leklal lemashuhu. It can't compare a bank to governmental bodies.
He's specifically talking about a bank.
A bank. A bank, he's talking about gemach as well. A gemach. A company which is lending out money, loans to aniyim,
and also to a bank. A gemach is better than a bank because there's mamish no owners there.
Yeah, well, it's a bank, gemach. So he says, why? Why can't you compare it? So listen carefully to his words. Why you can't extend the concept of entity to over in Arkis. He says, ha'aniyim mu'chotim. The aniyim, which this money is designed for, there are individuals which you can pinpoint who they are. It's known exactly everyone's ownership rights in this body. In the middle of statements can never be interrupted. Till the end of the sermon.
Lachain.
Therefore. Ha'cha shahamun yod mishyemes. So here also, in the bank, where there are specific shares, you know how many shares there are in the bank, and you know who these shares are belong to. You do us. The vade chashivi balamuz kamal bin mozom veribus, therefore, is vadai considered that this bank, when it lends money with ribus, is if the shareholders there individually are lending with ribus, i.e. they shliach through their agents who are working there, a bank is not an entity by itself, it's a partnership of all the shareholders. Why? What makes it different from a government and the Sibor? Stresses the Shem Zamo. Oh, but the difference is, it's not an unlimited number of people, it's not called a Sibor, it's a specific people over here which you have rights over here and you know what their rights are. As soon as you have specific people and you know their rights, that means it's partnership and not entity.
What
the difference between entity and partnership is the specific people where you know their rights. As soon as the specific people know their rights in it, then it's called partnership, not entity.
What I mean is,
therefore, no company will ever be considered as an entity in halacha. It would always be considered the partnership of the shareholders. Not true.
What a name is he referring to here?
That Ramosha, you misunderstood. In Hilch, the halacha in Hilchus Ribbus, and it's got nothing to do with the definition of the company. He agrees the definition of it is partnership, but he said even though they're partnership, there's a halacha in Ribbus which allows them to do it. Concessions.
Okay. What name is he referring to here?
The Gemara is going out, give this money and says it.
Oh, he's comparing Gemara to a bank.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He said, but his klal is across the board. Wherever the specific people which is this money is designated to, which they have control, and you know who they are, and they have clear rights defined in it, therefore for partnership and not entity. Unlike government body which represents the people, and there's therefore no specific numbers here and no specific definitions of what they have over here. That's called entity.
Who do you say it's only 49% owned by the
Makes no difference. You've got 49% partnership.
Oh, they're still doing Esther.
It's defined in a partnership, and therefore, you've got 49% of it is Jewish, and therefore, this money that's going out is 49% of it is Ribbis.
So, according to him, only stocks are the problem for many companies.
Well, the stocks, the head carrier in Ribbis, later says. Yeah. Yeah, they're just workers. They're just workers, and the Shem Zalman Uba says they're shluchim. They're shluchim, they're agents representing the real owners called the shareholders.
How are Ani and you selling them in the Gemara?
That money is designated for Ani and you. Specific. Ruben Shimon Levi, who's in his office, full of
people. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Specific.
Yeah.
For private Gemara.
Yeah. Now, that's the Shem Zalman Uba says. The Chelkes Yaakov, the Reich from Switzerland, says differently. He says the following. The Av Kesha Osem Tekona Shlola Kabo Oud Sum Chava Nesibo Hazem. You set up a company and you make a rule. A rule. What's the rule? It's designed for specific people. And it's not designed for everybody, it's designed for specific groups. Even though you make such a rule, no mikvah shofar, that doesn't make it automatically into partnership how Rosh Hashanah Zabal Orbach is designing. As soon as it's designed for specific people, says Rosh Hashanah Zabal Orbach, remember what he says, then he says partnership. Says Rabreich, the opposite, that even though it's designed for specific people, and you know who they are, it doesn't make it partnership. I disagree with Shem Zalman. Just because it's designed for people doesn't mean it's partnership. So what makes it? So therefore, what's the difference between partnership and entity if it's not the concept
of Rav Shlomo Auerbach are being designed for separate people? What is the difference? When is it partnership and when is it entity? Says Bain, Kishufin Yeshlem Balim Yisurim, Hayti Nikla Hashem Balim. We're partners, there's specific owners, and that business is called their business. The name of the business seems a very rather fudgish way of speaking. This business, it's the name, you look at the name, oh, you read the name and you can see the name of the owners on it. That's called partners. Rega, let's see what it finishes. V'siva ein lo balim yudrim, but shein siva plodim.
An entity,
which is not partnership, if you look at the name of the business, and you can't work out who the owner is, the cloud. It's got just a name, klali, which represents a group. Okay, but that's what you're saying, that I have to have number four in the name of a Malachim for you to say such a thing. Yeah, it's not what the Chalkan Yaakov saying. I just concentrate on what he said. You want to say something else? Very good. To say that, we'll see whether somebody else says it. It's not what the Chalkan Yaakov saying. What the Chalkan Yaakov is saying is the difference between me, in my eyes, says the Rav Reich, between a civil and a partnership, an entity, and a partnership is the difference between whether there's a name here which you could describe as who the owners is, or this name doesn't describe who the owners are.
It just depends on what they call it?
Yeah, it can't be that.
So what is it?
Yeah. So let's see what Gimel says. He continues. Mimela Shafi Yesh Lidmos Eisik Bank Lisibu. Therefore, bank is called an entity and not a partnership. Given the bank, Guf Bifne Atzma, since the bank is an entity by itself, for Ein Shem Balim Olof, and it doesn't have the name of the owners on it. So what does he mean? It can't be just because the name, you just put the different name up.
Long-term relationship. It's stable.
Very good. And what did you say a few minutes ago when I told you off?
Don't tell me off. I don't remember which one you told me. Not
just a second ago. What did I tell you? You said, one thing is that you can't be soft. What's another thing? What did you say? What did Malachim say?
Responsibility
to each other. Okay. But they don't have responsibility to each other.
Who?
The shareholders. They don't have responsibility to themselves, they can sell whenever they like, we're out asking the partners. These are not the reason, but they're signs. What's the sign for the big, what's the big sign? What does it say? You build up all these different rules, which you're saying. They can sell without the other guy, they don't have responsibilities without the other gal. And also, let's say a big one. Can they make decisions of their... the day in, day out running of the business?
Which one?
The shareholders?
How much they
are. No, we'll see whether that also makes sense. Okay. So generally not. Yes? So therefore, what does that all imply? All the three together as a general concept.
Separate
units. Why is it like a civil? Why do these three imply that the bank is like a civil? And not that they're owners. Why? Because it implies they are. Because it implies they're disconnected. These shareholders are disconnected from the actual business which is running the business. Yeah. So therefore, that's what Reich means. So Rav Menachem said, but not what he said. We've got all these different elements. All these elements bring us to one conclusion. They were removed from the actual running of the business, which implies that the business has its own name by itself rather than the shareholders who are behind it.
So, let's clarify, I understand Reich. In Reich's world, the legal form of entity really is relevant if it's a corporation or a partnership or a general partnership. It's just if the people have a say in running the business. or if they're responsible to each other.
All of them. It's not just that thing. If we can
build
that
whole partnership, that the terms of partnership dictate that, and that will also be considered a separate entity according to advice.
Yes.
Not because of corporate protection.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So Rav Moshe, to conclude, Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's a civil entity is only when there's no way of pinpointing who the owner is. That means the whole of Klal Yisrael together. That's entity. Anything specific body or civil, it's supplying or catering for, that's called the radical partnership. As Rav Reis says, as no any business which is running not under the control or related to the backers or behind this, and we've got Simon to describe such a thing, that the business is like a name by itself and it's an entity by itself.
Okay. What's the righteous of the core for such a concept?
They're all coming, doesn't say. It's just sporers and how to learn that there is such a thing as an entity, but where do we apply it? Now, we, and our job tonight, is to decide, have we got proofs to one side or the other from the following Rishonim. From the Rashba, maybe. Now, the Rashba, if I remind you, to some of you who are here and some of you are not here, let me remind you this. The Gemara and Megillah combined with the Mishnah and the Dorim say one thing. What do they say? They say that sometimes there's a basic Knesset, a shul, which can be described as an entity, and sometimes there's a shul, a basic Knesset, which can be described as partnerships and not entities. Partnerships of everyone in town. So the Rashba was asked the questions himself, is that when do we describe a shul as an entity? And when do we describe a shul as not an entity, but as a partnership of everybody who's using it? So Bethlehem, the Rashba, is tackling our question, which was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Reis are tackling. When does it turn from being a partnership to being an entity? That's what the Rashba is describing and discussing. When is it no longer a partnership, this shul, and ends up being an entity shul? So the Rashba says, I'll give you two factors which can make the change. Number four. First thing. Tama de Krachim, the reason why a shul in a big town is an entity and not just a partnership. Mishum to given to Ma'alma Ka'osile Rabim, since there's lots of people come to this big town, the public come to this town. Hotzi Babinu and Dwaram Assembly. So the public actually put money into building this basic asset because they come here. And they actually invest their own money. So the public invested money here. So that makes it entity and not partnership. Because the actual money that came to build this item came from everybody.
And if it's one guy that does it,
yeah.
Makes no difference?
Yeah, makes a difference, goodness.
It does make a difference.
Yeah. The second option, or what made this shul suddenly an entity shul, Efsha, base, Hoyafash, the Ba'alma Osile, the Havile Rabbim, since it's been used by the public, Kloma, Shabdei Ezer, Shabonimoto, when it was built by the local people, they built it Adas Kol Aboim. They built it Adas that the whole public in the world should use it, whoever wants. That makes it already public and no longer partnership. So he gives us two options how to convert something from being a partnership to being an entity. Either it's invested from the whole public, the whole nation invests in it, or it's designated to the whole nation. Then it's no longer partnership, then it's entity. If that's the options which the Rashba gives us, the Achronim can't argue on that. And therefore we have maybe a proof to one of the opinions which we discussed tonight. The Shlomo Zalman Auerbach starts off by saying, entity is only governmental, that's nationwide. As soon as you have a company which is designed for specific people or controlled by specific people, then it's no longer can ever be considered entity, it's automatically partnership. Reb Reich from Switzerland argues and says, no, I don't care how many people it's designed for. It can be designed for a very small group and still called for entity, because entity is described as it's separate and running separately from the people behind it. The people, the shareholders, haven't got control. They don't have to interact with each other. So we see it's actually the company is saying we're different from the shareholders. Yeah, so therefore it doesn't need to be benefit of anyone, says Reb Reich. I don't care if it's a benefit of anybody, it's only beneficial for a small group. I don't care, it's only invested by a small group, it doesn't make a difference. Entity can still be in the fact that the people who actually set it up are no longer in control or involved in the everyday running. The business has its own stature by itself. So therefore, if that's the machlokas we started off, what does the Rashba imply is the real definition?
Sounds
very much like Moshav Zaman, that you can only get an entity turn something from being a partnership with the entity with when it's designed for the public and invested by the public, and the whole nation. You can't have such a thing which is just localized, which is Moshav Zaman's Orbach's definition. Localized things are always partnership. That sounds like the Rashba. So we therefore need, Reb Reich isn't going to argue in the Rashba, so we need to have clarity how Reb Reich actually feels comfortable with the Rashba and still says what he says, I can still make an entity even if it's not nation designed. Rashba seems it says it has to be nation designed in some sort of form, either money or designed for them, and Reb Reich says it doesn't, it seems to be a conflict with that. No, we're going to have to answer up why it's not a conflict. So let's move to our next Shaila, and by the end of the Shaila, we'll have a possible answer. Okay, so this Shaila, Maisa Shaila Kachai. Reuven bought a very good deal. It was advertised, 5 computers with their computer desks and with their leather chairs being sold for a very cheap price. And he bought it. Then he found out that the person selling it was a former worker in the governmental offices, and all these goods were stolen by him from the governmental offices. Now this shaila took place in America. His shaila now is, what is my responsibility in respect to these items I bought? What am I supposed to do with them?
Okay. Well, but he did. He didn't know it at the time.
Okay.
Reasons to suspect.
Okay, so then now he found out. So what are these items? What are they?
Already was here, son,
what is these items? What are they? What's the name of these items?
Stolen goods.
Stolen goods. Okay, so let's see.
But
what's yours?
He bought it from a guy or from a Jew?
He bought it from a Jew.
He bought it from a Jew?
Yes.
Oh. Is that surprising? It's not matter surprising. Okay. It's a matter of the years may not help you.
So, stolen goods. What's the responsibility of stolen goods?
Return it to the owner.
You have to pay shiv as a gazela, a shekosu. You have to give it back. So let's see what the post can say. Who did he steal from? Who did he steal from in the end?
The government.
So what do you do when someone steals from the government? What's their responsibility? Their entity. Says Roshom Zama Oba, in his name is written the following statement. A very surprising statement. If you know Roshom Zama Oba, this is going to be a very surprising statement. Number 5. Sorach HaPadza Gadola B'Yosa Shelo Yigzel Mahamadina. You have to be very, very careful not to steal from the government. Mekol Mokom, nevertheless, in Israel, but not from the Hazina, but if it happened and you did steal from the government, Ein Sarach Leheshev Mashum Gezel. You don't need to give it back because of Gezel.
That's why you need that quite a good order. There's no two there.
So what does he mean? What does it mean? You don't have to give it back. You don't have to give back. Why? You want to get it back? Now everyone has to give back something. So no, gezel doesn't mean you have to over here give it back. You don't need to give it back. Now, is he saying what we rejected for the last 5 weeks? That government is an entity, nothing to do with the people, even though it was created by the people, it's like a robot, so you can do like what you like to it, if it's got no mitzvahs, it's got no mazik, you've got no claims against you, you can steal from it, but it's not a good thing to do. Is that what he's suggesting? I like it more than I like it. In his words he says, not to steal from the guys. He calls it stealing. So he holds Bada is stealing like we concluded. But all he's saying is that even though it is stealing, and you're over the Issa Gezel, you don't need to give it back. Why?
There's not one specific person that you can give it to that has a claim on it.
I'll repeat. That is saying there's no one who can force you to give it back because there's no specific person. That's true. There's hundreds of little people that it could be, and each one I can say, who sent you, who sent this Cohen I stole from, maybe that Cohen I stole from, that's what you're saying. But here we've got one entity called the government. It's not thousands of little people, it's an entity called the government, which is over, it's against us to steal from. So give it back to the entity, give it back to the government.
Is there a mitzvah with a guy?
There's a big machlokus, and Rosh Hashanah Orbach is saying, it's irrelevant to that machlokus. Practicalities. What does Eric mean?
Put it back in the stock room, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's see whether there's practicality or not over here is the issue. Firstly, let's see the next one, also number 5, what they say Rav Nissen Karelitz says. Says Roshem Rav Nissen Karelitz, Shamashaka Kadei Le Kabul Kesev Mahadina, you lie to get money under false pretenses from the country. Shabichok against the law. Haizeh Gezela, you've done Issa Gezel. Like I said, everyone agrees to this. You can't steal from the government. The Gezel Sofim Amudin the Sibyl, you stole the money which is set aside for the Sibyl. The Chayiv Bahashoveh, you have to give it back. V'soch Lasmoso Sochi Rabim. How do you give it back? You have to take the money and use it for public service. That's how you give it back. So what you say? You've done an Issa Gezel, like everyone says. You've got a mitzvah and a chiv to give it back, which is not like Rosh Shlomo Zalman Bach. He argues and says you have to give it back. And he says, how do you give it back? You do something which is beneficial to the public. Where does he get such a concept from? From Shulchan Aruch? Is it a fair Shulchan Aruch? And look at number 6. Haroim Vagaboim Vamosim. All these people are bound to steal from the public. They're bound to steal.
Gaboim?
Yeah, Gaboim are bound to, in their dealings with people, are bound to over various of stealing, because it's very difficult not to. Tax collectors, for sure. Yeah.
I send off the tax collectors, okay. Don't look at me.
So it says, the Shulchan Aruch, Teshuvah son kosher. It's very difficult for these people to do Teshuvah. But they should go to the rabbi, because they steal from the public. They don't know who to give it back to. They stole from the public. They don't know who to give it back to. The fichok, what should they do? Not that they don't have to do anything. Fichok, yasu sochi rabim. So take money which they stolen and use it for public goods. Could go and borrow, shlichu maris, invest money, give that money to upkeep the public facilities like the bathhouses or the wells or the roads. There's a way of doing it.
In other words. You don't have to return it, because personally, you don't know who to give it to, whatever. And you're going to trust these guys running now
take the money quietly without anybody knowing it and giving it to public purpose.
Not trusting them. I'm telling you what they have to do. You want to do teshuvah? You're coming to me before Yom Kippur. You want to do teshuvah? You stole from the public? You don't say like Rosh Hashanah Orbach says. You don't say, wow, what you've done is there's nothing to do. Because of technical problems, like Eric's putting out. There's no technical problems. The Shulchan Aruch tells you exactly what to do. As from this, it's actually Paskin. You do take that money you want to do teshuvah and invest it in something which is public goods. Then you've done your teshuvah. You've done your teshuvah.
From the borrowers.
But here we're talking about stealing from the government. Stealing from the public. So why is Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach saying you don't need to give it back? On the one hand, he calls it gezel. He doesn't hold it's not gezel. He calls it gezel. On the other hand, he says you don't need to give it back. Don't say because of technical problems, like Eric said, because even when there's technical problems, there's still a way of giving it back, as the Shulchan Aruch points out, do something which is public and beneficially good. So what's the shot behind Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach? Yes. Is Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach talking about dead goods? He's talking about money. We're talking about dead goods. But Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach is just saying in general statements, you steal from the government, implies even money. You over gezel, but you don't need to give it back. What's the shot?
You don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, so how do you have the right to give it back?
Well, according to Allah, I hear
give it back. Give it back. Yeah. So why is Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach says no?
Because you don't want to give it back to the government, because the government is going to check you out.
So what? You put yourself into trouble. So what? He doesn't say it's difficult. He says you don't need to do it. He didn't say so. Ain't sorry. Furthermore, if you there's an easy way. There was asked the stipler, how you steal, so what do? I'll give you an easy way to give it back, says the stipler. Also number 6. Be'echod shedibur b'telefon shal misrad rabbanut l'sor prati. Somebody used the public civil telephone belonging to the rabbanut offices, which belongs to the government, for his own personal needs, which is, it's a ghetto. What should he do? Oma liknos bulim likra osom. What you should do is you should buy stamps and tear them up. You should buy stamps which you don't need and tear them up. That way you've done your chazorah of gezel. You owe the government money for using the telephone illegally, called it a gezel. How do you pay that back? Buy stamps from them which you don't need and tear them up. You're giving them money which you wouldn't have given. Easy way of giving back money.
Don't you have to inform the
No. Only by animals, and they have to do extra shmirah because you took them out. No?
I could just throw money into your chutzner and I'm your chutzner.
As long as he gets to it, he gets to use it, yeah. He can't just put the chutzner, put it in his pocket. Yeah.
But here the money is going to use it for a different use because of where it's coming from.
Okay.
That's the formation.
Yes. So what does the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach?
Well, didn't we say that there was a machlokas in defining a government? is it a bunch of individuals?
We concluded last week.
There's an entity.
Is an entity.
In defining that entity, you said beginning
and the,
here.
And the divine entity is the entity, which is separate from the people. Is an entity of... And the people there are gaboyim of that entity, or the people in the government are actually owners of it.
So he might be arguing that they're just gaboyim. He might be arguing they're just gaboyim and not owners.
Why?
Because then there was no peace for the Shrek of Dal to any owner. There's no owner. There's no person.
The guy who steals has as much right as that entity to the money, because he's part of that entity.
No,
so It's not, because we said the people are not part of the entity. The whole point is the people are removed from the entity, and the people stole from the entity, and they have to compensate the entity and not the people.
No, the entity was created for their benefit. And
so that's a very bad swara. I wouldn't believe a lawyer of your stature would say such a thing.
Why? The higher the stature, the...
So, I'm going to read to you. Oh, Eric, go on. Words of wisdom. That's your famous fullback. Okay. I'm going to read a halacha which the Taz says. Taz, remember, there's a shul in a halacha which belongs as an entity to the nation. So if so, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it, because it's nationwide, you can't make decisions. Even the local properties can't make decisions. Only very specific. This is not something which is out of the box. Says the Taz, you got this shul, you can't touch, you can't sell it, can't do anything. It belongs to the public. But there is a case where you can make a decision on it, even without getting consent of everyone in public, because if you do need consent of the public, you can't. Okay. So he says like this, number 7. The Bonu Adatikulam. This shul is built for the whole nation. The Zokhobel Kolam, it belongs to the whole world. I finish your Gorim, Ainis, Elabamokhwa, Beinin, Shlo, Yeachaf, Be Successes. The whole problem now is you can't sell it because you're not the owners to sell it, it belongs to the nation. Abu Imyeg, Be Successes, Mutter. But if you're selling it in order to obtain money, in order to build another shul in its place, that you can do even without consent of the owners called the nation. Why? What's the reasoning? You tell me what the logic behind such a thing. What's the logic behind the Taz thing? Belongs to the nation, you can't do anything without the owners of the doing thing, so you can't do anything. No, but there's a case that you can without the owner's consent. That's when you sell it to use the money to build another shul in its place. Why? And therefore, what's therefore the correct? And therefore, what does that mean? What gives me allowed to do it based on that statement? What's the halachic word you want to use that gives me now permission to do it based on your statement? Not shlichus, it's a more of a thing. So, you know, also good words, but better words. Zochen Adam Shobafanov, we're going to use it. Umduna. It's clear that the owners would consent for me to do this. When I know the owners definitely would consent for me to do this, I don't need to ask them.
Well, if the neighborhood's going downhill, the owners would consent also. Even if
the demuchuch, that the owners would consent me to take the shul, sell it, and rebuild another shul. Don't need to ask. So when there's the under the demuchuch, then you can do things without better. Okay. With this, we can now suggest an answer to why Rishon Zalman Orbach is saying that you do not need to give back the stolen money. What's the answer based on this concept? You steal money for the government, you owe it to Gezel, but you don't need to give it back. Why? Got mitzvah hashava.
What?
You got mitzvah hashava to Gezel. Why don't you give it back?
Maybe the cost of the government to collect it would outweigh the loss of what they're collecting. So you say that everyone would agree it's their benefit not to waste time collecting it.
No, he has to go put it back.
Somebody get it back. How do you get it back? How do you put it back where it goes?
We ask him, he should give it back. Like Malachim is telling us, you should give it back.
He drops it off in front of the building, but now they need to hire workers to bring it up there.
No, it buys stamps, just like we said. Just buy some stamps. It's a lot, then he has to buy 1,000 stamps. Just buy stamps. So this is what they suggested with Shomu Samoba. Chol dover she'en yochel lachsa. Number 7. Anything you can't give back. Kiven sha'pi achok ein kezer talich. If there's no formal process of being able to return what you stole, Shabbos Gela, le'echol shabam le'atzel le'hishif. So you want to now say, he has to give it back himself. If he tries and gives it back in a formal way, no one in the government will be able to say, I don't know how to do this. And you can't go up to somebody in the government office and say, I stole 20 shekels from your telephone, I want to give it back. No one in the government office will be able to process such a request. I reckon. Memela, b'chai gavna, yesh mechila. There's mechila from the public on such a...
Mechila?
A mechila from the public for such a gezel you stole in such
There's
a fashion.
Mechila.
We're mochel.
People get
don't need
all,
to give it back.
Angry
now, what does he mean?
Like
what does he mean?
It's wundana that it was no process that they weren't mocking on getting it back.
Yeah, the map is on taking it, but once it's taken, there's no mechila on giving it back. Because there's no process to get it back. Now, who's mochel? Are you mochel, Dan?
No.
You mochel this guy that's stolen from you?
Especially
no. You're not mochel? Not mochel. So what does it mean, there's mechila?
Who's
mochel? Who's mochel? Who's the entity? And what's the machlokas? Rosh Hashanah says don't need to give it back because we want to say because the mechila from the, yeah. And Rav Nissen Gerelitz and the disciples say you do need to give it back, and we tell you how to give it back. Obviously, they don't hold of this mechila, but they do hold of the tas. So, what's the machlokas going on over here? Must be a machlokas whether it's possible to have the mechila over here. Yes. Now the question is, who's mochel? Dan is not mochel. Martins is not mochel. Tzuli is not mochel. Shmuel is not mochel. Eric's not. Nothing.
The entity's not mochel either. If they find out about it, they prosecute the guy.
Let's ignore his statements and get back to the facts on the ground. Who is doing the mechila here? Who possibly could do the mechila is doing the mechila over here? Ignoring his statements. No, his statement's not crucial. I'll tell you in a minute why. Absolutely irrelevant. And he's saying that because nothing. Now, who is the one doing the mechila over here?
the government.
The government itself.
Because it could have worked out a procedure and set it forth, and they didn't.
Okay.
And we can make.
The government is doing the mechila. The body, the entity called the government doing the mechila. The people are not doing the mechila. Okay?
The Gazela takes the desk and put it back.
But if the Nigzal who was stolen says you don't need to, you don't need to. That everyone agrees. If there's an umdana that he says you don't need, you also don't need. So the suggestion over the hint is that he's saying you don't need. That's what the suggestion says. But who's the one who says you don't need? It's the government entity. So let's say it's correct. And that's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach is saying. They're saying we've made no process, we're not interested in this process, no process to process. So the mela, if it happens, mochel. We're not talking about thousands of dollars of tax evasion, that's a different thing. Yeah, it's a mechil. But why would you argue on such a thing of mechil not working? Why would Nissen Kerelitz argue? And why would the Stipler argue, even accepting it as being true factually, why would they still argue?
Because they don't have authority to be mochel.
Because they don't have authority to be mochel. Like we concluded last week, there's a machlokas. What is these government people? Are they gaboyim or the actual owners themselves? If they're owners themselves, then as an owner they have a right to be mochel. Okay? But if the government itself is only a gabois, the gaboyim have no right to be mochel on the the entity which they're representing. Only the entity can mochel itself. The Gaborim can't do mechila on something which is not theirs. So therefore, even without saying the whole logic doesn't make sense, which is what Dan wants to say, say the logic is correct. But still you have to give it back, because I don't recognize the Gaboim called the government officials Mechila, because they're not the owners, and therefore, if you're not owners, Mechila means nothing. And therefore, you have to still return the Gezel to who you stole from, which is called the public, entity called public, and therefore you have to give money to the public in either form of giving support, like we said, buying lots of stamps, or giving support to public institutions. That's the opinion of the Nissen Kerelet and the opinion of the Stipler, that they're just Gaboim, and it fits very nicely. What did Nissen Kerelet say last week? These government people are Gaboim, the money belongs to the public, has a lot of money, but they're Gaboim, and they have no rights really to make decisions because they're bad Gaboim, and when Mashiach comes, we'll get proper Gaboim in its place called the Beis Din. He describes the government as Gaboim, and if they're Gaboim, just as they can't make decisions which are on their own back, because they're just making decisions, bad decisions, not based on halakhic decisions, so also they can't mochel as well. They can't do mechila, they're Gaboim, they can't do mechila. So therefore, you stole from the government, you have to give it back. Not because the Gaboim say you don't need to give it back, you still have to give it back, and you give it back in the form of giving support to public bodies. What? The owners, but as we said, there was an opinion last week to describe them as actual owners. If they're actual owners, then they have also rights to mochel. They make their own reasons or what the decisions they can make. Yeah, they're controlled by themselves. They're owners, and we're restricting our own owners' rights. That's how they let them say. Okay. The public's not the owner. That we already rejected. It's an entity by itself. And we're describing whether the people who are working in the government are Gaboim of the entity, or the people working in the government are actually owners of the entity.
They're not owners, and they're Gaboim, nobody owns
them. Right.
But they still have the power...
Not to make mechila on something which is stolen.
No, to collect the money, to go after the person, to collect the value of the stolen. If that power is...
Yes. Yes.
Then they would have the same
power to they can do things beneficial, but they can't do things detrimental.
Who says that's detrimental?
So mochel is called detrimental.
What?
To set up a system of mechila.
What?
No, not sue them. I'm not going to collect, but I'm not mochel. No, like Dad said, I'm not going to collect because it costs too much money, but I'm not going to be mochel. Okay. You can say that, and then it's not mechila. You have to give it back, as you stole. You have to bab thousands of.
Would he agree with the stipend that all the thousands? You buy a million stamps, and then you destroy the stamps that you have obtained mechila.
No.
Or you have to get mechila from someone.
No, I hear you say that if you do that, you just wasted your money, because once there's mechila, then what you're doing is giving a present.
Okay.
So you're over. So at the end of the day, what the Rosh Hashanah was saying, you stole from the government, you're over this, and there's a way to do Teshuvah. Because of
Mechila.
To do Teshuvah. Because there's ready being Mechila for such a thing.
No,
this aggressor says you, there is no Mechila. And then you have to do Teshuvah. Give back the money.
According to
the government, the body, their laws, the courts are set up. Yeah? Their laws, like you said, they set up a system to not be able to accept. That's what you said.
The problem is, if there's Mechila, then they can't take
Shumas and Maisis. We're talking about Shumas and Maisis here. I'm talking about.
You can only take Shumas and Maisis. How are you starting?
What, what case are you talking about? The government are buying grain. Yeah, they're not milk. There's something to milk over there.
Okay, but they're going to be owners.
Yeah, okay.
And if they can't be milk,
yeah, that's what Mayor Bransdorf has said. That's what he said last week. Yes, that's what he said. Yeah.
How can they be milk before they even know it was stolen?
There's an umdun.
An umdun of that what?
That any gezel.
But
that
they can't be mochel if they don't know it's stolen.
No, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that says you can.
The what?
That says before it gets stolen, you can go up and stand up and say, anything that gets stolen today, I'm mochel.
Yeah, because you're saying you're mocha.
Yes, and there's an umtana that they set up this system that for this type of gezel we're mocha.
No, they didn't set up a system to make the
So chima. You're arguing on the whole answer.
They didn't set up a system to
Fine, you're arguing like Dan on the whole answer.
There's no argument.
Yes. That's what Shabbos Avol was saying.
He doesn't say that.
He says, no, he has to give it back then.
He doesn't say that.
They do it all the time. You know what? In this country and in America, if you didn't pay your taxes, we'll give you extra time and we won't charge you what we normally charge, which is a mechila. It's a mechila on the interest of
taxes. And then Shaila is where they got the authority to do such a thing. Have the authority to do such a thing. That's the question we should discuss about. Memela.
That's built into the law that they made.
Memela, we're going to finish off with one word from Moshe Feinstein.
Oh.
Moshe Feinstein, and we'll finish off and with this word, and that will automatically bring us back to our what we started tonight. To our, there's such a thing as entity by government officials, by companies. So Moshe says the following. Number 8. Acherim shelokhu ma'gazlan kodem yish ein aleihem ele din ha-shabbos aveda. You missed the case altogether. We were discussing gezel the whole time. Says Moshe Feinstein, you buy from a gazlan of the Medina. The person who stole from the Medina has over issa gezel, but the person who bought, he has not been over issa gezel. He's got a different mitzvah called heishiv es aveda.
Oh, so that's even if he stole from a private party?
He bought stolen goods from the government. The person who bought is not over Gezel. He's got now a different chiv, not Heshiv as a Gezela, he's got a mitzvah of Heshiv as a Veda. A lost item.
Let's say he didn't steal from the government, he stole from a private party. So when I buy from that Gazlan, I only have a...
I can't listen to two people at once. Stay kodesh slow, Shemini. No, nothing to ownership. No, he stole it, and let's say there's no yish. It's still stolen goods. I just take it out of the gazlan's hands, and now I've got a mitzvah. Hashavas aveda.
Is that even? If
I'm not over issa gezel. I just got a mitzvah now. Hashavas aveda.
Is that?
Now the question is, Rabbi Moshe says, is that mitzvah hashavas aveda to the government? That's a different question, because we know, and this is where I'm leaving you next week to think about. There's no mitzvah hashavas aveda to a goy. There's a mitzvah shavas aveda to a Jew, but not to a goy. Yeah. Is there a mitzvah shavas aveda to a government, which is an entity by itself? That is the question in our shayla, and we'll conclude it next week and get back to how it helps us in our definition of companies being possibly be described as entities and not partnerships.
What about our cases? Yeah. A better case is the three appliances.
Yeah, that's what we're going to get back. That's next week.